suffered in Egypt during the plagues. And you will call it good times.
You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment. But first, we want to thank you for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast with Pastor and author Terry Bailey. This broadcast is also produced as a free podcast, which you can find on iTunes or become a subscriber through our website. We'll have more information at the end of the broadcast, but for right now, let's join Pastor Terry as he preaches this insightful message.
Good morning. Someone in the audience to shout out, Vietnam!
Vietnam!
Does everyone know that movie, right?
No.
Okay. No. Hasn't happened yet. So I always struggle on Youth Sundays to write a message that I think will be informative to the adults and also interesting to the children. And I don't know that I've really accomplished either this morning. But try and stick with me. Today I'm tackling a chapter from the book of Isaiah, and I have to apologize to some of the kids and some of the adults, because Isaiah is almost entirely poetry. Now I know how some of you in here feel about poetry. Where's he at? Mark, did you leave? Right. Mark Overly hates poetry in all forms, just so you know. That being said, let me lay just a little bit of groundwork, and I'm not talking about the history of Isaiah, I'm talking about the nature of the book of Isaiah. It's what we like to call cyclical. That means it goes in a big circle over and over and over again. Step one, God tells the people of Israel / Judah that they are the scum of the earth and deserve nothing better than to be melted into a giant pot of human stew and fed to wild animals. I'm going to throw in here right away that for most of Isaiah, God is pretty ticked off. Step two. God says, here's what I'm going to do about it. I'm going to take my giant celestial steel wool, and I'm going to scour the face of the earth clean. Your punishment is going to be so bad that you will look back on the horrors suffered in Egypt during the plagues, and you will call it good times. The flies, the frogs, the gnats, the boils. Those were the good old days. Nothing like the sufferings that we live through now. Step three. All of those bad things that I said are going to happen to you, those aren't going to happen to you. They're going to happen to Jesus. You see, the book of Isaiah, more than almost any other book in the Bible, is a true Christmas story. I dare you to open up your hymnal. I know we don't have it. Open up your hymnal to the Christmas section. Choose a random song, and chances are you will be quoting the book of Isaiah. For unto you a child is born. Yes, I know the angel said it, but who said it first? His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Where do you think that's from? Lo, how roses are blooming. Anyone here old enough to know that hymn? Isaiah. You get the idea, right? By the way, step three has another part to it. A look at what life will be like once everything is set right. Once we have returned to paradise, to perfection, to Eden. As my incredibly nerdy brother likes to say, Eden is the, say for everyone, Andy, the prime continuum. Anyone here like a big Star Trek nerd? The prime continuum, i.e. the place a man is from and the place a man is destined to be, the one true story of man, Eden. And where we are now is merely a segue between between our previous existence in the prime continuum and our eventual return to the prime continuum, or to make it less nerdy for you, God created man to live in perfection in Eden. And that is where man will eventually return. Pet peeve. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. And lots of other songs like it. Yeah, they're nice songs, but the book of Revelation actually pictures the saved living on the new earth after the old earth is destroyed. Not heaven, Eden. The prime continuum. Now, before I see any more eyes glaze over, we're going to get away from the nerd stuff. And we're going to look at the passage that I chose today, which is Isaiah 11. By the way, in the cyclical nature, we are looking at the prophecy of Christ and the result of creation being set right. Starting in verse 1. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and of understanding. The Spirit of counsel and of might. The Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. A shoot from the stump of Jesse. I know a lot of you here in Indian Run might work with plants. Or at least do it for money, whether or not you like it. Right? What happens when you cut a tree down to a stump? The answer, of course, is that you eventually forget about it and the grass grows up and you break your lawnmower blade on it, right? Seriously, though. When you cut a tree down to just a stump, what are the odds of it growing back into a tree? Not very good. The stump of Jesse, who was, by the way, the father of King David, represents the fall of the line of kings. Now, first, I think it's important to note this is the stump of Jesse, not the stump of David. During his life, David, while the man after God's own heart, was a wealthy and often violent man, whereas Jesse was a poor, peaceful farmer. The Messiah is from this line. He will have authority like David, in fact, well beyond David, but he will be poor and peaceful like Jesse. And it's a stump because the line of kings is dead. There are no leaders from the line of Judah reigning over the Jews. Both Mary and Joseph, the parents of Jesus, can trace their lineage directly back to David. And yet they are poor and unimportant. While the man named King of the Jews, Herod, isn't a Jew at all, but an Idumean, I know it's a hard word to get out of your mouth sometimes, a descendant not even of Jacob, but of Jacob's twin brother Esau. The line of kings is dead. And yet out of this dead line will come a shoot, a branch, and it will grow and bear fruit, it will be nourished and bountiful, and it will be Christ. The last, final, and greatest of all the kings. And he will be clothed in righteousness. There's another hymn for you right out of Isaiah. And he will justly fear the Lord. And he will slay the wicked and strike the earth. But how? With the breath of his lips and his words he brings judgment and justice and righteousness. Not a violent man, a warrior to conquer the earth, but a man who will bring justice to the earth through his words. Not David, but Jesse. Starting in verse 6. The wolf will lie with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like an ox. By the way, I think I just went over the cover of most Christmas cards right there. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Animals that usually eat each other, lying down with each other, and a mighty hunter eating plants like an ox. And the one that I chose for my verse today, the infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put his hand into the viper's nest. How many of you grew up wandering around the woods here in Stark County or wherever you grew up? My siblings and I did. Swimming in the creeks, climbing in and out of the strip pits because we didn't think it was dangerous. We actually made maps of the area out there behind the parsonage, named all the different regions, and we kind of treated it like our own personal little Narnia. A generation later, how many of you would feel comfortable with your little children wandering around the woods by themselves? I don't have any kids, but if I did, I know that I wouldn't. The world has never been a safe place, but day by day, it becomes a more and more dangerous place. And the thing that gets me is that we're not really that concerned about your kid running into a venomous snake or a bear or a coyote. Those dangers are minimal here in Stark County. Honestly, the biggest danger you have here in Stark County is your kid stumbling on someone's pot farm and getting shot. The world isn't safe because we can't trust the humans living in it. That thought really struck me when I was reading this passage, simply because it is the image of how a child could be perfectly safe, even with venomous and aggressive animals, because nothing will bear animosity. No anger, no hate, just unity, an image of man returning to Eden. They will neither harm nor destroy on my holy mountain, because the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the water covers the seas. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the people. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to proclaim the surviving remnant of his people from Assyria, from Lower Egypt, from Upper Egypt, from Cush, from Elam, from Babylonia, from Hamath, and from the islands of the Mediterranean. He will raise a banner for the nations and gather the exiles of Israel. He will assemble the scattered people of Judah from the four quarters of the earth. Ephraim's jealousy will vanish, and Judah's enemies will be destroyed. Ephraim will not be jealous of Judah, nor Judah hostile towards Ephraim. They will swoop down on the slopes of Philistia to the west. Together they will plunder the people to the east. They will subdue Edom and Moab. The Ammonites will be subject to them. The Lord will dry up the gulf of the Egyptian sea with scorching winds and will sweep his hand over the Euphrates River, and he will break it into seven streams so that anyone can cross over in sandals. There will be a highway for the remnant of his people that is left from Assyria, as it was for Israel when they came up out of Egypt. The final part of this chapter is by far the saddest. Isaiah has already established that the root of the son of Jesse will come speaking justice and righteousness and peace. But not everyone will listen. There will be one more moment of bloodshed and despair. That is, despair for the enemies of God. As he gathers up his people, the remnant from Israel and Assyria, which is important to us because God is gathering up the remnant of the Gentiles who also call upon his name, and he will wipe out the enemies of the people of God and the enemies of God and make the land into Eden once again. Salvation is offered, and it is offered to everybody, but not everybody will accept it, and the enemies of God will be wiped out. Coming up to the end of my message, I would like to look briefly at chapter 12. Don't worry, it's only 6 verses long. And honestly, I'm not sure why it's not part of chapter 11 in the first place. In that day he will say, I will praise you, Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you have comforted me. Surely, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day you will say, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion. For great is the Holy One of Israel amongst you. When righteousness is upon you, praise the Lord. When the fear of the Lord is upon you, praise the Lord. And when judgment is upon you, praise the Lord. Because everything that he does is right and good. Praise the Lord.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast on this station. You can find out more about the church with a quick visit to our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.